Now it's time for Art Journal. My name is Cora Zahn and my very special guest today is Deanne Eccles. Good morning, Deanne.
Hi, Cora. Thank you for having me once again. It's lovely to be here.
It's always fabulous to have you on the program, Deanne. You've got an exhibition opening tonight. Tell us about it.
This is a solo exhibition at Yarva Gallery in Healesville. And this is my first solo exhibition for many years since I've been down the rabbit warren of being a mother and a businesswoman. And I'm coming back out again and remembering who I was as an artist. And I'm really excited to be sharing my abstract paintings with the community. They're a culmination of many, many years of work. So I'm really excited.
It's opening tonight. There are still space to come along tonight?
Yes, there's plenty of space for people to come along tonight. It begins at 6 p.m. and we have a very special guest, John Wood, who you would have just been hearing on the radio, and he will be reading some poetry as my husband Toby will be opening the show. Toby has been incredible and supportive of myself as an artist, and so I couldn't have chosen anyone better than him, who understands me and also my processes. So very excited.
This is Art Journal and my very special guest today is Deanne Eccles. Your exhibition Sublime, the title of your exhibition relates to a movement. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. The Sublime has roots which extend back to the Italian Renaissance, but it particularly came from a theory which was put forward by Edmund Burke, who created a thesis on a philosophical inquiry about the sublime and the beautiful back in 1757. And he defined the sublime as an artistic effect productive of the strongest emotion the mind is capable of feeling. And we can tend to think the sublime is about having emotional experiences which are, I guess, ecstatic or happy or joyous. But what Burke did was that he recognised that we should be incorporating all of our emotional experiences, and that is suffering or pain or actually particularly fear, which is caused by the prospect of dying, so crossing that threshold. And so with this movement of artists, they were very much about connecting with nature and how nature tends to inspire this within us. So pretty much that's where I'm very interested in those experiences that we have as an artist, which we try and capture and then purvey onto the canvas.
What's so interesting about your pieces is that they are predominantly colour, and you're using colour, shape, they're abstract, in order to communicate qualities. Tell us a bit about that.
Well, I've always been very interested in, one, mystery. I don't like having answers for everything, you know, in regards to just having a defined answer. And so what I love about abstraction is that it is not didactic. It is not telling you how you should be. It is just a mere guide of having a creative experience or an artistic experience, or tapping into the essence of being inspired. And so that is where my works are derived from, that colour can inspire those artistic experiences inwardly. And so that is what I'm asking from the viewer, is to not just look at the works and see and say, oh, there's a circle, there, you know, or but actually go inward within yourself and say, how do these works make me feel? What part of my body is being affected by standing with these works? What if I was to move with this painting, how would I move? How does this colour, how does this form kind of inspire movement within me rather than us being stagnant? It is about having an experience with art, which once upon a time, when you look at Christian art, that's what they were trying to inspire. They were trying to inspire spiritual experience. Well, in some ways, I'm kind of trying to remove that through abstraction and say, well, what is your personal experience?
So it's about your relationship. It's like you're really wanting to inspire a relationship with your pieces, and not just a cerebral, mental relationship, but a full-bodied experience.
That's right. And I think any art, and that's what the Sublime artists were trying to do with their, and Turner was part of that movement, where they were trying to encourage people to experience what they were experiencing when they were out in nature and they were experiencing incredible sunsets, or they saw a small boat that was in the upheaval of a storm. Or so let's transfer that. And can we do that in this day and age where our senses are being bombarded with so much imagery, particularly when it comes to the internet and our current films, which are, you know, very full of, a lot of action-packed aggression in many ways. So, yeah, bringing it back to art. How do we do that as artists these days?
And with your abstract art in a probably more a simpler way, a very direct way.
Very much so. Particularly when we might try and look at abstract art and say, oh, I see a face in there, or, oh, it reminds me of, like, the dog's breakfast, or I'm kind of bringing it down. But, and I guess...
people might say that.
Well, they might. And I have heard, you know, some people say, oh, it looks like scrambled eggs. But I guess, again, I'm asking for the viewer to stand with abstraction without coming up with any answers, and just ask yourself the question, how does this make me feel? How do these forms affect me inwardly? How do these colours that interact with form within me, how do I respond to that? And when we were doing the workshop, what I loved hearing was when one of the participants said, I've never liked yellow. I won't have anything yellow in my home. And then she went on a journey with yellow, and she realized how much she was enjoying being in that space. So that in itself is very interesting.
Wonderful. And surprising.
Yeah.
You're listening to Yarraville FM 99.1. This is Art Journal. Your show is opening tonight. It's called Sublime. Wonderful title, by the way. I'm really curious about your process. Tell us a bit about that.
Sure. Well, I guess, of course, there is a discipline around making art, and a local artist, Ali Griffin, if she's listening, she always said, make sure that you go into your studio no matter what, at least, even if it is half an hour a day, which, I mean, that in itself is a process. And so then it's like, well, and what are the triggers? How do you move from being a domestic mother or businesswoman and then all of a sudden become an artist? How do you do that when you've got little time? So I have little triggers. One of my triggers is music. So Nick Cave's one of my favourite, because it takes me back to when I was a student and kind of really in my kind of idealism space of being an artist. And so therefore Nick Cave's music always triggers me into being an artist. Also, being in my body, being in nature, so finding ways of really tapping in to the inspiration ingredients that are required to be creative and inspired.
What are those inspiration ingredients?
Interestingly, I've got to add, the other day when I was in my studio, I was feeling like something wasn't quite right, and I'm just like, oh, there's just... I'm just not feeling it. And then I realised I hadn't let my chickens out, and I didn't have, because I didn't have my chickens clucking around my studio, and I didn't have my guinea fowl and seeing my peacock. And so my studio, actually, I really thrive on the environmental factors around my studio to have the, those sounds around me to support that inspired space. But also, it also comes into connecting with my body and my canvas, the smell of the paints, and then sensing into my inner life. And that can be fed also from external factors which might have affected me, whether it be, like, for example, I've got one painting that's in the exhibition called Grief, and I really should have called it A Pod for Grief, but I've always called it the grief painting, when, which was painted from when my brother passed away from a brain tumour. And this painting was about supporting me through my grief. It wasn't about my grief and I'm just pouring it onto the canvas. It was like, what do I need right now? I'm needing to feel supported. What else am I needing? What do I, what, how do I be in my grief? Well, this form, this colour, this movement holds me, nurtures me, allows me to be in my grief without feeling like it's too much.
Oh, I love that. You also do that with some of your other paintings too. It is about supporting courage, for example, or supporting boundaries.
Very much so. And that's, and pretty much that is what, when you stand with some of these paintings and you ask yourself, what am I feeling, or what's going on here? Those archetypal forms are about being in courage in times of fear, or being in courage when you're going through self-sabotage, or feeling like community is against you, or some of those qualities that came up when painting these works. Another one was a friendship breakup. And it's like, well, what, and asking that question as I move in and out, and I'll talk about another technique that I use, but stepping in and saying, what do I need right now? I'm needing firm boundaries. What else am I needing right now? I'm needing my sense of self, rather than handing it over all the time and feeling, kind of maybe disrespected or used or what have you. But, yeah, so that's where some of these archetypal symbols can come from as well. And but they're not just for me, they're for everybody. And that's what I hope that these paintings can do for people.
People are often got a lot of chatter going on in their minds. And for them to actually come into relationship with a painting, it's a process too.
Definitely. And I think more than ever, it is so important that we have these places where art is displayed. Once upon a time, it was a church. It was filled with art. But now, you know, for some people who aren't so connected to temples of worship, then art and galleries are a wonderful place to be able to just come into. And it's like when you walk into a library, you know, where that atmosphere is really held and supported, and people have to respect the qualities of those atmosphere. You've got to leave your chatty mind. You've got to leave your busy world behind to be able to step into those places. And then the architecture and the atmosphere and the people that are supporting that space actually allow you to let go and let go of all that chatter. And so exhibitions can do that too.
It reminds me of a beautiful love affair, that the container that provides for you to feel all the feelings, not just the joy and elation, but also the passion, the anger even, just everything.
Very much so. And I think, you know, sometimes we might kind of put ourselves down for feeling the negative feelings. We might feel like we're failing, or we are failures, because the grief might be continuing on, or the suffering, or the anger. Particularly, you know, nobody likes to see people, or even women, as angry women, because they're dissatisfied with something. And so it's like, well, how do you direct it? How do you, use it as a way for positive change. So I guess in some ways,
even just acknowledging it, just owning it, just saying, okay, this is a part of the human experience.
Mm-hmm.
Why shove it under the carpet?
Well, that's right. And the best art has been created from those feelings. And I'm not going to call them negative feelings. I see great benefit from them. And, like, even with what's happening up in Echuca at the moment with the floods and the way that the community is coming together at the moment out of crisis, like, humankind are at its best in crisis. And we can make art from that to keep that positivity, to keep that evolution happening, the challenge of the mind, the challenge of human experience. And I think that's art's role.
Mm. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. One of the things that's really wonderful about your exhibition is that you've set up the lighting as best as possible with what you have available to create a particular atmosphere. Could you tell us a bit about that?
Sure. It's a good question, Cora, because I'll talk about what was one of my inspirations was when I was in London and I went to the Tate Gallery to view Rothko's work. And it is quite dark and it's just very gently lit. Huge paintings on either wall. And basically you walk into a very moody atmosphere. And it just made sense to me. I just thought, oh, I get this. Because you can look at the works through your peripheral vision and while you're looking at the one before you. And it allows the atmosphere of the paintings to impress upon you. And then I also experienced another work when I was in Sevilla in Spain. And it was of a small piece, and I can't remember the artist, where it was lit from a window that would have been about 2 metres above it. And so it was because of this very subtle light, it allowed the work, which was of Mother Mary holding the Christ child, and it allowed it to have a three-dimensional quality where the baby's face was coming out of the canvas and staring right at you. And I was like, oh, I get that. We don't need to spotlight works. And so that's what we spent time yesterday, Alex, the lighting guy, trying to gain that quality of just suggesting the works so that they have space to breathe, to pulse, to move, to shift from side to side if required. A lot of Aboriginal paintings can do this as well if you just soften your gaze and not have the full spotlight on them, you'll notice that they will pulse and breathe and shift around and almost come out from the canvas. And so we're trying to gain that quality at Yarra.
It really makes a difference, a huge difference.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And we played around with putting various spotlights onto the work, and it's interesting just how much they can just flatten out. So when you use shadow and light coming from quite a distance, I guess, rather than it being close up, then, like I said, it allows the works to just be in their own quality, and they change. You know, like a lot of the paintings have many, many colours, but if you spotlight it, you lose all of that depth, and so you've got to find a way for those colours to come forward.
Interesting that the best way to see it is in a lower light, which I find kind of fascinating in and of itself.
And I've always wondered, like when I think of Rembrandt, for example, so did he paint his paintings in candlelight, or did he take them out in sunlight? Like, because to get those kind of those shadows and the mood, I mean, and they didn't have electricity back then. Where like electricity almost killed our storytelling time of sitting in the shadow and wondering, you know, as you
sitting around the fire,
the candlelight which flickered up against the walls, and so then you had these looming shadows coming in, and I mean that evokes the imagination, and electricity has kind of washed out all of those shadows.
Interesting. Yeah. Have you been to see Belinda Rogers? Have you gone to see her exhibition?
Not yet.
Okay, so when you walk into the space at Earring Station, the first impression is of black paintings. Mm. But it's not until you stay with them that you'll see all these colours, and it's like, oh, wow, I did not see them at first. So that's another aspect about viewing paintings or having that art experience. That art experience is taking the time.
That's right. And taking the time to allow what you haven't seen to be seen and to be experienced. Like sitting with, and I've sat with Belinda's works of where they... It's not just looking at colour and going, oh, yes, I understand. It's a blue painting or it's a black painting, but actually just allowing it to be what it is and allowing all that, because many, many hours have gone into creating these works. And so there are many, many hours worth of experience. Like how much time do you usually spend with a painting mostly when you go to even the National Gallery? Like when I went to the Picasso exhibition not that long ago, I mean, like people looked, they were there for about 20, 30 seconds and then moved on to the next one. So
I think they have actually timed it and it was like something ridiculous, like 17 seconds.
Mm.
But which is just insane, really.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I think that's one of the purposes of art, or people who are educated in terms of viewing art, is to, it really is about taking time to see things unfold.
That's right. And I mean, I guess even to not even expect an answer or try to know what something is, but just to remain in the space of unknowing. And I guess coming back to lighting, you can create that atmosphere of not knowing everything rather than lighting it up and just going and looking at the texture and looking at the brushstroke and looking at the technique. I mean, it's
challenging though. I'm sure we could talk about this from a perspective of the way we process information. Why is it so challenging to step into that space of unknowing? It's probably a space of fear, I suppose.
That's right. And coming back to Sublime, if I could, they were looking at the kinetic Sublime and the logical Sublime. And it's interesting. So when you have an experience of being like where a natural experience is so overwhelming, it is so immense that we actually cannot use our intellect to even interpret or impose an understanding on it. And so we're in this space of awe and amazement and overwhelm. And then all of a sudden our intellect needs to understand it and needs to put logic on it. So therefore we start skinning it and facing it and putting it and saying, oh, you know, it's this colour and it's that and it's this shape and it's that form and it was this and it came from this. And so there's that is considered a logical Sublime. Then you have the kinetic Sublime, where you're in that immensity and you experience the oneness of it. So we lose that antipathetic sense of self and we become immersed in it. And that immersion is like flow space, where we remain in the space of unknowing, but we are one with it. We are one with nature. We are one. Or they have an epiphany or a spiritual experience of being, seeing the divine in some ways and recognizing that I am one with the divine. That can be. And so there's this immersion of oneness, of being one of the mystery.
It's very much a feeling of connection. And I think if people would spend more time, that's part of it, isn't it? The spending of time to achieve that feeling,
that sense of oneness. Yes, definitely.
It's a time thing. It doesn't happen quickly.
No, not at all. And I mean, and letting go of that antipathy of that's there, that's that, that's this, that's, and the observatory space to allow, well, what it, allow the impressions and the immersions and the connections. And I guess so you can even use that if we're to kind of remove it from the more abstract space of art and move it to even getting to know somebody. So, and building a friendship. Initially you might say, oh, well, they looked like this and they spoke like this and their interests were. But as you get to know each other, there's a flow, there's a connection, and there's a sense of timelessness, and there's a sense of oneness and connectedness, and that takes time.
Mm, it's beautiful. You're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1. It's been such a pleasure to have you on the program today, Dionne.
Thank you for having me, Cora. It's been an absolute pleasure to spend time with you again.
We always have so much fun, don't we?
Do.
I am so excited about your exhibition. It's opening tonight, 6 p.m.
That's right.
It's at Yarra.
And I hope you'll have me back again because we're having a concert to close the show on the 19th of November and the 20th. And I have some very special guests who are professional musicians, Galara Poor, an Iranian singer, and Kaylee Melville from Speak Percussion, who I'll be working with using my body sense perception techniques, which we workshop together, Cora. And from those techniques, they will be creating new compositions of musical works, which they will be performing on the Saturday night.
That sounds wonderful.
And so it's really especially to be working in that creative space of the
definitely,
works.
Definitely come back on the program and
Can
chat about
that?
That.
That'd be great.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yes, so get on to the exhibition. It's opening tonight, but it's on till November
the 20th.
Mm. And all information can be found on the Yarra website.
That's right.
Thank you so much, Dionne.
Thank you for having me, Cora.